The Guardian.
An autonomy referendum over the weekend in Bolivia seems to have done nothing but deepen divisions between people in the resource-rich region of Santa Cruz and the poorer indigenous supporters of the country's president, Evo Morales. The Guardian's Latin America correspondent, Rory Carroll, found himself in the middle of rioting at one polling station in an indigenous slum area of Santa Cruz City, where opponents of the poll were trying, by a means Bolivians often use, to prevent voting going ahead.
If you want a sign of just how polarized Bolivia has become, this is it. A crowd of hundreds of indigenous people, all armed with sticks, rocks, clubs, metal rods, bottles, tree branches, pretty much everything they can get their hands on, are now attacking a voting center. They're hurling, that sounds you hear are men trying to smash open the door to get inside. They want to burn the ballot boxes. And meantime, the people cowering inside are hurling rocks and everything they can out over the walls to hit the people on the other side. The protesters are inside. It's total chaos. They're smashing windows, hurling bottles at anything they can find. They're hurling rocks and bricks. There's a handful of police here with riot shields and tear gas, but it's not enough to control the situation. Those sounds you hear of people trying to smash down doors, they're doing a pretty good job of it. One of the protesters and I got a ballot box. He's holding it up with a trophy. He's holding it up as a trophy now, he's smashing it. Meantime, rocks are raising down. So here we go again. After a break for lunch, there's the mob has gathered. They're trying to try to get another school or a voting center. So there's about 200 guys, again with rocks, sticks, metal rods, firecrackers, and they're facing off against a group of people who are trying to defend the voting center. Storming another voting center. This time the police are slightly better organized and they're firing tear gas. So everybody's got their own little canister of vinegar and a little cloth wrapped around their face. One of the convenient things about Bolivia from a rioter's point of view is there's always something nearby you can pick up and throw. There's rubble, dirt, junk, chopped wood, everywhere. It's a whole armory just right at your feet. The pro-autonomy people have retaken the school and in the process have captured and very badly beaten one of the anti-autonomy protesters. He's a young man, his face is totally bloodied. He's obviously traumatized. The throng are now marching him off to somewhere. Half of them seem to want to kill him and the other half seem to want to save him. The people who want to vote in the referendum are furious. They've just been attacked by a mob. They've now emerged from the voting centres to see if they can try to defend themselves. At which point now the riot police have belatedly intervened and seem to be siding with the rioters. These are pro-government police, and the rioters in this case are also supporters of the government. What appears to be one of the pro-autonomy guys has now opened fire on the indigenous people. He and his group have now turned tail, they're sprinting. The protesters are in pursuit. There's a large gang of guys with sticks and rocks chasing him.
Well, since Rory Carroll recorded that, I've spoken to him to find out why feelings are running so high.
Feelings were running high because the indigenous community feels that there's so much at stake here. They feel that the referendum was an attempt to ring-fence Santa Cruz province away from the central government, which they support, because the central government is headed by President Evo Morales, who's the first indigenous president in the country, and they feel that he's making very bold efforts to spread the country's wealth and power to indigenous communities. So the fact that this wealthy province of paler-skinned Bolivians is now trying to ring-fence itself from that process. It's enraged these indigenous communities in Santa Cruz, and that's why they went rioting.
So what's going to happen now? The president has rejected the vote. How are the people of Santa Cruz going to respond to that?
It's a wait-and-see situation at the moment. We're watching to see whether the Santa Cruz authorities, who've now claimed this crushing mandate for autonomy, how far and how fast they're going to push that mandate. For instance, are they going to try to create their own police force? Are they going to try to take control of the gas fields here? And so forth. And also we're watching to see how President Evo Morales will respond. Will he hold out an olive branch of sorts and sit down and talk to his foes and try to hammer out some form of compromise? Or will the two sides just continue basically shouting at each other, and then that will feed out to street level and allow people to continue rioting? My money is on some form of compromise, some form of messy compromise, which will actually cool the temperature.
And are any other regions of Bolivia expected to take this kind of action?
Yes, there are another three regions near Santa Cruz that are also due to hold their own autonomy referendums. And just as in Santa Cruz, they're expected to pass overwhelmingly. And that's one of the reasons why it's very possible that Evo Morales will compromise, because he just needs to talk to these guys, because if he doesn't, this form of rebellion threatens to derail his whole project, which is trying to spread pro-indigenous and kind of pro-socialist and some would say populist economic policies across the country. Now, if he doesn't somehow defuse this autonomy rebellion, then that project will just be blown out of the water.
And just finally, rioting is pretty commonplace in Bolivia and people are obviously used to it. But there was one man in your report there who seemed to be in quite a lot of trouble. What happened to him?
Yes, well, he had been caught by the pro-autonomy protesters while he was attacking a voting center. They beat him up quite badly, and half of the group wanted to kill him, but half of the other group actually waded in and to try to protect him, and then that was bolstered by the presence of journalists and photographers, and we were able to escort him then to police lines. So he had a very lucky escape, because unfortunately lynchings here are very, very common, and it's in the blink of an eye. It's very arbitrary whether somebody just happens to get a few scratches and cuts or whether they get beaten to death. In this case of this man on Sunday, he was very, very lucky. He was spared.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.